San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, October 18, 2020. Today's lesson is Ancient Spirituality with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning and welcome to our San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. Welcome home, right here, to our spiritual community, to that place where our hearts are. And today we have another opportunity to recognize the one power, the one presence, the one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call that one power God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And it's appropriate that today, with our lesson of ancient spirituality, we acknowledge that it is the one absolute, self-existent, eternal, infinite, never had a beginning, never has an end. It is simply that same essence as it was in ancient times, as it is now, as it ever shall be. And so we're continuing our theme for October, New Thought, Ancient Wisdom. For the past few weeks, we've cultivated a new appreciation for the origins of the New Thought movement and how it has reflected back to humanity the wisdom of the ancient ways of viewing reality. We talked about two history books, Spirits and Rebellion and The Roads to Truth, and I recommend you get those online if you don't already have them. But since the beginning of time, before humans began keeping records of their thoughts in either pictures or symbols or monuments, there's always been a question about this thing called life. This thing called life. There's been an eternal quest for knowledge, a spiritual journey to understand why we are here, how we arrived on this planet, what is our purpose, and who or what created us in the image and likeness that we are. Throughout history, the greatest minds have questioned themselves and explored the depths of human consciousness to reveal the mystery of life itself. A wise man wrote down these words of wisdom. The mystery of life itself is buried deep within. The answer is quite simple. The questions must begin in my heart. Now think about that for a moment. Now it's relevant to today's lesson. The mystery of life itself is buried deep within. The answer is quite simple. The questions must begin in my heart. And we know that the answer is always within the question. Now, I mention this for two reasons. First, I believe completely, I simply know that that's a true statement. The mystery of life itself is buried within the minds and the hearts of humanity. I believe absolutely that the mystery of life is buried within the hearts and minds of all humanity. It has to be, because we are that life. And it is in our hearts and our minds where we know the divine center. Sometimes we have to get out of our heads, out of the intellectual and the analytical process, and allow our intuition and receptivity of our heart to guide us through life easily, gracefully, and lovingly. Now, the second reason is My late husband, Reverend John Pulaski, is the wise man who wrote those words. They're from a song titled The Mystery of Life Itself that appeared on his first CD, Journey of the Heart, that he recorded 10 years ago. So if you're interested in obtaining a copy of that CD, let me know after service. It was my intention to play that song for you today. But several months ago, I cleared out all the extraneous stuff in my church bag, and one of the things I took out of it was that CD. So I apologize that I don't have that music for you today. The message that is getting across is that the mystery of life itself is continuously being revealed to each and every one of us as we center ourselves and become open and receptive to the answers that reside within. All throughout history, the ancient masters and the philosophers have written about the answers to the riddle and mystery of life is already implanted within. And I'll share more about that next week in our lesson, Ancient Masters. So it's up to all of us, individually and collectively, to reveal life's secrets that lie dormant, and to share this wisdom with others to help make this world a better place. In his book, The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho tells the story of a young man named Santiago who had a dream and the courage to follow his intuition. Santiago set out on a quest to search for a hidden treasure that led him to the pyramids of Egypt. His convictions were continuously tested. However, his persistence and his courage prevailed. In order for the boy to reach his treasure, he first had to learn to accept change, to value simplicity, to trust his experience of daily life over the old ways of thinking, and most important, he had to learn the value of living in the present moment. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's in alignment with our science of mind teaching and philosophy. It's in alignment with all the mindfulness and meditative practices to be here now, right here in the present moment. Throughout all of his trials and tribulations, by the end of the beautiful and inspirational story of The Alchemist, Santiago discovered that the real treasure in life lies where your heart belongs. It lies where your heart belongs. The reason I share that story with you is because the answers were there all along, buried deep within. There was nothing new to discover. It has always been there waiting, waiting for our recognition of the treasure that resides within. And that's what we're exploring in this month's theme of New Thought, Ancient Wisdom. Ancient spirituality and wisdom becomes new again when we have the opportunity to remember what we have forgotten over the past several billion years. Now, a few weeks ago, I mentioned a holy scripture. It was written in the 3rd century BC in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. It says, "What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." Remember when I talked about that? There is nothing new under the sun. And that's absolutely true. There really is nothing new under the sun. But it's more than just a cliche or a catchy phrase. History tends to repeat itself. and that which has been forgotten once again becomes new. There's nothing new in the world, but a continued repetition of the same things that appear to be new. And that's why we are rediscovering the wisdom of ancient spirituality this morning. Please listen carefully. Forget everything you think you know about life. Remember all that you forgot about life. Seek the wisdom to know the difference. I'll repeat that again so you can remember what you may have disregarded the first time I said it. Forget everything you think you know about life. In other words, let go of the old thoughts and beliefs, which no longer are serving your highest good. Let go of the negativity and the false concepts that may be holding you back from a life of happiness, health, prosperity, and creativity. In case you haven't noticed, there's been a lot of turmoil and unrest in our world. An awful lot. And there comes a time when we need to rethink what our priorities are in life and reevaluate our own values and principles. I also said, remember all that you forgot about life. And I remember all that you forgot about life. You and I were born with the wisdom of the ages in our DNA. All the knowledge and wisdom resides within your own heart, within your own consciousness. It's all there. There is nothing new under the sun. When we come up with a new idea, all that means is we have tapped into that ancient wisdom that's always been there, and it appears new to us, and we get to act on that wisdom. Given the level of advancement and technology for the world in which we live, electricity was always here. Electricians were not. I truly believe that most people yearn for peace of mind and a life that reflects health, wholeness, creative expression, and success, as each of us defines success. But it's yours already. It is your divine inheritance. Some of us just forgot, that's all. I said, seek the wisdom to know the difference between what we think we know about life and letting go of what no longer serves us. Seek the wisdom to know the difference. I think that most people know. They know that they know. It's a feeling, it's an emotion that fills the heart and offers peace of mind during times of challenge. I believe that humankind intuitively knows the difference between what is true and what is false. If you look around at our world today, it seems like, in many cases, all the negative, horrible, violent, angry, hateful things that are going on have power. They don't. They are simply an effect of someone taking an action. It's a cause and effect. The truth is that within us, peace is a part of our spiritual DNA. Peace of mind is a part of our spiritual DNA. When we look at our individual lives, We should know what is no longer working for us. And we can find the courage to think a new thought and to change our life for the better. If that sounds too good to be true, it is not. It is not. Don't worry about it. It is the truth. You have, right here at the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, a loving, supportive community. It's not the biggest community in the world, but we love you. You are family. We are one with each other. And so whatever it is that is a burden to your heart, a heaviness to your mind, you can call upon us. Call upon Reverend Mark. Call upon me. You can even call upon Noble Benning, our practitioner. Call. Mention what your issue is. And then allow yourself to receive a spiritual mind treatment where we step back from the outward example, the outward symptom. We go to the spiritual truth and we know and we speak the spiritual truth about you. And we can do that because we are all one. Now, if you're in alignment with what I've talked about so far, I invite you to affirm something with me, okay? So if you're ready, please place your hand over your heart and affirm with me this truth. Today, I claim the power of right thinking. I have the wisdom and clarity to let go of negativity, to release limited thoughts, and to remember my divinity. And so it is. So breathe. Take a nice cleansing breath and release. Allow your consciousness to embody the power of those words that we just spoke into universal law. That new thought that is ancient wisdom. We're claiming the power of right thinking, which has been ours all along. We're claiming wisdom and clarity, which has been ours all along. We're letting go of negativity, which never had any power, because the uplifting, fulfilling life divine has been ours all along. We're letting go of limited thoughts, the ones that say there's not enough, because there is an infinite abundance. Everything is already here, already exists to be a support to us. God is my source and my substance. So the substance is the everything. Throughout history, ancient texts and manuscripts have been unearthed to remind humanity of its spiritual magnificence. The first one of those that comes to mind for me is the Nag Hammadi, the Dead Sea Scrolls, that were uncovered in clay jugs in the desert, I think it was 1947, which revealed all kinds of new information about the text, the actual writings of the Christians and the people and the historians of the time. Texts that didn't make it into the Bible as we know it today. However, one of the most fascinating artifacts of antiquity is the Emerald Tablet. Has anybody heard of the Emerald Tablet? Oh, good. See, you're learning something new today. The stone is inscribed in Phoenician, and it is said to reveal the magical secrets of the universe. Magic being something that couldn't be explained by science at the time. Like lighting a match. That used to be magic. Now we have all kinds of things to initiate a flame. Many of you are familiar with the saying, as above, so below, as within, so without. According to legend, the Emerald Tablet is said to have been discovered in a carved tomb around 3000 BC, clutched in the hands of the corpse of Hermes Trismegistus, also known as the great-great-great Hermes. Born from the fusion of the Greek and Egyptian spiritual traditions, Hermes' writings explored the realms of magic, astrology, alchemy, and philosophy. And legends differ on who first discovered the tablet. Some historians say it was Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Others claim it was Apollonius of Tyana who found it. And regardless of where or when it was discovered, the Emerald Tablet was the inspiration behind many other esoteric traditions, including over 1,700 years of alchemy. Most medieval alchemists hung a copy of the tablet on their laboratory wall and constantly referred to the secret formula it contained. And so, you know, as I'm going through this, I'm thinking, how is it we don't all know this? I mean, heck, we had a movie called The Secret. Where was the Emerald Tablet then? During the 16th century, Hermes was such a respected figure that there was a movement to have his teachings replace those of Aristotle in European schools. Can you imagine? Aristotle wasn't smart enough. Aristotle didn't have enough insight. Aristotle is one of the renowned Greek philosophers. One of the most significant revelations of the ancient world is inscribed on the Emerald Tablet. When I read it to you, you're going to go, whoa, that's from the Emerald Tablet? Well, it is. That which is above is like that which is below. That which is below is like that which is above. To achieve the wonders of the one thing. Therefore, this is the foundation of astrology and alchemy, that the microcosm of mankind and the earth is a reflection of the macrocosm of God and the heavens. The microcosm on earth is reflective of the macrocosm of God and the heavens. Now that is a core teaching of science of mind. That is how I explain the divine creative process. Jesus the Christ taught his followers how to pray, but he used a similar phrase. He said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we can look to the Holy Scriptures again, Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, that reads, "Look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The Bible is saying everything that we see comes from that which we cannot see. There is a spiritual cause for every physical manifestation. In our New Thought philosophy of Science of Mind, we understand and we teach that the visible originates from the invisible. We know that our invisible thoughts take visible form as we practice the principles of this teaching. It's practical spirituality. It's the universal cause and effect of life itself. Cause and effect of life itself. What you think about comes about. And all this rooted in the Emerald Tablet. There's another ancient concept which has found its way into modern practice, and that would be the labyrinth. Has anybody walked a labyrinth? Okay. It dates back thousands of years and was adopted by the Greek culture of Christians in the first centuries following Christ's death. It was adopted as a tool for prayer. Now, labyrinths were also widely used in Gothic cathedrals of medieval Europe. The most famous one is in Chartres, France, located near present-day Paris. A labyrinth is laid out as a single path within concentric circles, and the participants wind their way from the outside to the center and then back out again. Now, that represents a path, a threefold path. First, the pilgrim from the outside moves toward the center through a variety of twists and turns, symbolic of the journey toward God, who exists at the center of all life. So first, the pilgrim. Next, the traveler, who waits and prays at the center in communion with God. Finally, the enlightened one follows the maze out, representing a movement with God back into the world. The pilgrim traveling in, the traveler communing with the divine, the enlightened one following back out. Kind of makes me think of the Buddha when he sat underneath the banyan tree. He had to travel to the banyan tree, the pilgrim, sit, commune with God, the traveler, and then be enlightened, awakened, and move away. Now, we don't all have our own banyan tree, but there are labyrinths all around us. We can follow the labyrinth with this same intent of resolving something or of simply being in the presence. Now, something else about life is it could be compared to a board game or to a jigsaw puzzle. And sometimes we get lost in the maze of twists and turns. We can find ourselves staring at this great puzzle of life that awaits our solution to the many pieces that appear to be all mixed up on the table before us. How are we going to make sense of all these seemingly different puzzle pieces and turn them into a picture of our life? Especially when we don't have the box that it came in. So there's no picture to give us clues. The world's wisest teachers are those who can draw upon ancient wisdom and renew it with a fresh perspective. There's a rabbi by the name of Rami M. Shapiro who shares this analogy of life in his book, Wisdom of the Jewish Sages. He says, consider a jigsaw puzzle. Each piece has its place, and no other piece can fit that place. Yet no one piece makes sense on its own. Each piece needs the whole for its integrity and coherence. And the whole needs each piece to fulfill its purpose and bring meaning and order to the puzzle. Once a piece is in its proper place, its separateness is surrendered. We know a piece is in its place when it blends with the whole and disappears. And what is true for a puzzle is true for reality, with one exception. There is no hand putting us in our place. We need to do that for ourselves. We need to discover our place and take it, stand in it. And when we do this, we discover the integrity and meaning of the whole. We discover the divine energy that flows through all things and links to each other, all the pieces linking to each other, and all to God. So I'd like to close this morning's lesson with some wisdom from Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of Religious Science Movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And this can be found on pages 78 and 79. It's in the area where he says, mind, the greatest discovery. Ernest says, one of the most difficult problems to realize is that when we are dealing with the law of mind, we are dealing with an absolutely impersonal thing. It knows how to create without knowing what it creates. Therefore, we must distinguish between the law of mind and the spirit which uses the law. The ancients taught that there is an infinite self-knowing spirit. One of the oldest sayings in the world is, spirit is the power that knows itself. In addition to which, there is an infinite law which knows how to do but does not care what it does. This law is a karmic law of Buddha, the law that binds the ignorant and frees the wise, as Anna Besant stated it. It is the cause and effect of the West, but it is not to be confused with kismet, which is fate, because its tendency can be changed. There is a law in the universe which operates in a certain way according to the tendency set in motion and does so mathematically, inexorably. We cannot destroy the law, but we can redirect it. Its movement. We can redirect its movement. Just as we plant seeds and later decide we wish something else, we go out and uproot the first seeds and plant others in their place. We are not thereby destroying the soil. We have simply determined to use it in a different way. When we are dealing with subjectivity, we are always dealing with that which is subject to conscious volition. So what that means is we've got spirit, we've got the knower, and we've got the law, which is the doer. And we are the knower. We tell the law what to do. And if we don't like what is happening in our life, we can give it a different message. We can have a new thought. We can change the very heartbeat of our thoughts. So Dr. Holmes writes about how the ancient saints and sages have known about the great law of the universe and how you and I can consciously redirect its energy. The law of life is neutral. It has always been so. From ancient times to now, forever and ever, the law of life is neutral. It doesn't play favorites. It's impersonal, and yet we can have a personal relationship with it. Always remember, it rains on the just and the unjust. It's up to you if you choose to stay dry, or if you choose to run around in the puddles and get soaked. So thank you for your time, your attention this morning. Namaste.